Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live, and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word and all that it is to us and for us. And we just pray your blessing as we look into your word. Help us to recognize your truth. Help us to see what the way of the world is that we have been conformed to, and help us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And just guide us into your truth, that it may become not just part of our knowledge and understanding, but part of our lives as well, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Living in this present evil world and being naturally conformed to it, and in many ways not even realizing it from the time that we're young, we grow up and we have basic assumptions, things that we take for granted as being true, as being just the way that things are. Thought processes and values and priorities. And the fact is, though, is that before we come to Christ, we're in darkness, that we stumble around, we don't really see things as they are. And the devil very much seeks to deceive us, to distract us, to drive us away from the Lord and from his blessings. It talks about the idea of speaking of the devil as a thief, that he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, that to take away as much good from our lives as he can. But the thing is when we came to Christ for salvation, we came to the light, and the light starts to dawn in our hearts as the Holy Spirit is within us, and as we read God's Word, and as we get into God's Word, that's what we find, that so many of these base assumptions that we had, things that we took for granted, things that have even governed our lives for many years, we find out, wait a minute, this is completely wrong, or this is completely out of order. And so it's necessary for us, as we seek to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, to change our thinking, to be renewed in our minds. And as we do so, that's going to transform our lives. And so we see here in this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy, of course, being the second giving of the law. It is Moses speaking to the next generation of the children of Israel that are now going to go into the land, and he's seeking to prepare them, and he's also seeking to remind them of what God has done and why, and all that God has commanded them, that they, as it says there, that they would observe to do them. Not just that they would know what they are, but they would put them into practice. That they would fulfill God's will for their lives. And it's so that it says there, continuing in verse 1 there, that ye may live and multiply and go in to possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. If that's what the Lord wanted for them, that's the Lord wanted for us. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to enjoy all the blessings that he has promised us. And so he says to them, you should remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And you think of these ones that they left Egypt, and they were probably youngsters or 20 and under, we understand, and just seeing some of what God was working in. But of course, when their parents, because of a lack of faith, refused to go into the land, that meant that as a people that they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. But yet, with all of that, God looked after them. And so, but they're to remember all the way in which the Lord led them. And they'd understand that he did it, as it says there, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And that's what a lot of times when we go through difficult situations, sometimes we can think, well, maybe God has forgotten us. Why is he having me going through this? Has he abandoned me? And the fact is, no, he has not at all. But he's leading us through these things to prove us, to see what's in our heart, to see how we're going to respond to different trials. And of course, he knows that. But a lot of ways, he wants us to know how we're going to respond. Because when we respond improperly, it shows us we have the need to grow in faith, grow in grace, grow in maturity so that we can handle those trials if they were to come again. And so then we see in verse 3, it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. That it's, we see that in the scriptures in many different places, and we've talked about that already in a previous message on the idea of God humbling us. And honestly, we recognize that as people that we need humbling. We tend to think more highly of ourselves than we should. And to be humble is to have the right mindset, to see ourselves as we are. And so when God humbles us, really we recognize he's doing us a favor. We should humble ourselves before God, but so often we don't. And so he brings things into our lives to put us in a position that is uncomfortable for us, that we're kind of exposed, we're vulnerable, and we don't like that. But the fact is we need it. We need to be humbled, and so that he can use us. And we, of course, we don't think so. And when something happens, it's like, why is God allowing this to happen to me? Doesn't he know how important I am? And of course, he does know how important we are. And it's not as much as, we're not as important as we think we are. And so he's trying to teach us something. He's trying to say, I want you to go through this for your benefit. And the sooner we learn that, probably the less of these humiliating things we're going to be going through. But then it says as well, it says that he suffered thee to hunger. And it's interesting just the phrasing of that. We know from the way the word suffer is used in the English that of that time, that it has the idea of to allow or to permit, and we see that he gave that. But it is, well, we understand when we think of the word suffering, it is to suffer, to not enjoy something, to be difficult. And so when you actually look at the grammar of that, of suffered thee to hunger, that it's in a sense that for God it was a suffering to him to allow us to hunger. That it's not something that he enjoys causing grief, causing difficulty to us, but he allowed it to happen for our good. And we see that with the children of Israel in this position. And we read in the book of Lamentations the same idea in Lamentations chapter 3 that says, for though he cause grief, yet we have compassion for the multitude of his mercies, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. That's not something that the Lord enjoys doing at all, but sometimes it's necessary because there's a lesson for us to learn. And so he suffered them to be hungry. And then, so there came to be times when they didn't have food. Again, it was a chance to prove them, prove their faith, and of course, a lot of times they didn't really pass that test very well because right away they would complain, well, why is God not providing us food? But of course, he always did. It just wasn't necessarily right at the minute that they expected it. But we see that here, that he fed them with manna as well, and throughout the whole 40 years from the time that they left until they actually got into the land, that God kept giving them manna every day, that there was this daily provision of God for them. And all of that we understand that he did that, it was to teach them a principle. And this is a very important principle to learn, and this is what we want to focus on this morning. And he said, it might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And this is something that we need to understand to be true, and it's something that we need to understand all that it means. And so we can understand it in a few different ways. First of all, we recognize that we need God to provide for us. That as Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, part of the words of that says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And we need God's provision. We need God to provide for us our needs. And specifically speaking here of our physical needs. That without Him working, that all of us would starve. That it is His hand in things to make sure that all of us have the food that we need. And how dependent we are upon God for all that we have to partake of. That it's just something that if you think about that, everything that's in your cupboard, everything that's in your freezer, how it got there and what happened in order to bring it there. That if you really start to think through the thought process of how dependent upon God that we are for those things. That we think of in the present time that we're going through harvest and people are getting their crop in and it's maybe not as great as they hope, but it's better than many expected. But the fact is that we need God to be able to provide the weather and the conditions in order to get the crop. That if we have it too dry or we have it too wet, then there can be no crop. And in it's been quite a few years in this part of the world where we haven't had an actual crop failure, whereas in other places in the world they have had that, and it's had serious consequences. But you think with so many different things, even with livestock, that a person can have a herd of cows, but if you had a bad hailstorm come through, that they could be wiped out. That there's so many different things to look after. And you think as well in terms, if we consider really the whole supply chain from the producer that grows the crop or raises the livestock, all the way to us, it getting to us at the grocery store so that we can buy it. That there's so many different parts in that whole supply chain for us, that if any one of those things were to happen, to fail, that then we wouldn't have what we have to enjoy. And even to have a job to be able to afford to buy things at the grocery store as well is something that we get from God. And it's kind of the thing that for us in the present age, having fridges and freezers that we can store things for many months, and as well being a lot further removed from the basics of having to grow our own food and raise our own livestock to feed our families, we get detached from it, and we tend to forget of just how much we need God for these things. But the fact is that all of it is because of Him, and we don't want to forget that. We want to recognize that God has to work these things out and provide for these things for us to enjoy what we have. And so with all of it, we need to be thankful. And as we just start to think things through, we just realize all that God has for us and enables us for. Just even basic things of the fact is we live in a country where there's some stability, where there's not the roads haven't been bombed out or the power is not been knocked out or anything like that. That we have that we can enjoy, that all of that we can be thankful. Because so many other places in the world don't enjoy what we have. And so we look to God and we rejoice in what He has done for us. But secondly, and primarily, we want to consider this idea that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Is a whole idea is that of living, and the thought of it is not just that we would just exist or survive, but that we would live and that we would thrive. That there's that he's saying here, and just as what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount that we looked at last week, there is more to life than just meat and drink. There's more to life than just the temporal sustaining and maintaining and nurturing of our bodies. That God wants to see that it isn't just about the physical. That there's so much more to life than that. And you think about it, that there's many in this world, if you were to make that statement to them, that there is more to life than meat and drink, that for some, that would be heresy to them. And really, we recognize that there's so many of us as human beings that have a great obsession with food, that you think of it, of just how much you can go to find in terms of the internet, in terms of television, of what is devoted to food. That there's certain networks, that it's basically all food all the time, of restaurants you can go to, recipes you can make, things you can try. That there's all these different flavor experiences that they're trying to encourage people to have, and different tastes and textures and flavors. And don't get me wrong, so many of these varieties of tastes and things, they are a tremendous blessing from God. That we realize that of what God has given us. Because really, if he chose to, if he could just sustain us with basically having us all get an IV drip of sugar water and just have that keep us alive for our whole lives, where we wouldn't even have to taste anything. But instead, he gives all these things, that all that he has created of these different plants and spices and different meats and other things, that he has put those flavors in there, that he has given man the wisdom to find them, and even just kind of the grace that some of them just kind of stumble upon them sometimes, and now we get to enjoy those things. And it can be a great blessing to us. And we can be a blessing to others when we're able to make something that tastes good and is good for a person and that they enjoy. And so we don't want to diminish what God has given us. And but the fact is that for many, that whole kind of taste experience and all that kind of pursuing after food and the great flavors of this world, that's all that they think about, and they forget all about the God that gave it to them. And really, that seeking after food and drink can become a God to them. And that whole thought, that momentary indulgence, that culinary experience, is what many people in this world live for. And sadly, it can be what many people die for. That there's many that have this the whole idea and focus on food being out of balance, that it gets to be what the Bible refers to as gluttony, where a person's filling themselves with food and it's not healthy at all. But then, of course, there can be as well an obsession with food the other way, of just seeking this kind of healthy eating, where we want to strive to find a perfect diet that's going to give us a perfect figure, give us a long life. And we can go back and forth between the two of having seeking after taste or seeking after what's healthy. And of course, the quest is always to find the perfect medium, where something tastes awesome and yet it's still healthy for you too. And that can be what we follow after, what we pursue. But we realize, as the Bible says, there is much more to life than meat and drink. And it can become an obsession in many different ways. And we as believers as well can get caught up on either side of that. That we recognize that there's so many different eating disorders that people can have, that they recognize them to be mental illnesses, that a person's relationship with food becomes something that it should not be, that something has happened. And it can be very damaging to oneself if a person's mindset towards food becomes warped. That a person can eat until they're harmed, others can starve themselves and hate food, that think it's their enemy. And there's even one that they're recognizing lately called orthorexia nervosa, that's an obsession with a pure diet and avoiding unhealthy foods to the point where it interferes with a person's life. And we want to recognize something's wrong with all that. Something has gotten out of balance. And food and drink is part of our lives, but it is not the only part, and it is not the main part of our lives. In John 10, that Jesus spoke of the idea, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And God wants us to have an abundant life, a full life, and it is more than just eat and drink, more than just the physical. And that is a problem with this world, is so much there is the focus on the physical. And there are other parts of life. And we're starting to understand that a lot of times in terms of a person's health, primarily a person thinks in terms of one's physical health. But then as well, we're starting to realize that we need to be concerned about someone's mental health. And that's something that we recognize in our society today, that there's some different stigmas in dealing with mental health that people are learning to overcome, and that there's sometimes that needs to be dealt with, that's going to affect the person physically. There's emotional health as well that we recognize. But very much we recognize too that there is a spiritual health that we need to be concerned about. And for many today, especially in terms of healthcare and other things, some don't even acknowledge the whole spiritual side of our lives. And that's very sad, because of the four, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, we would have to say that our spiritual health is the most important. But sadly, it is the one that we tend to neglect the most. And we focus on the physical, we deal with the emotional and the mental as it crops up, but the spiritual is the one that gets left behind so often. And the fact is that all of us need spiritual food and spiritual nourishment much more than physical nourishment. And often what the problem is that we can focus on the physical so much that it can hurt us spiritually. And it's an example of that we can take with the children of Israel themselves in the wilderness, of how they were getting this manna. God was providing them. It was all that they needed. But yet they grew tired of it, and they started to complain. And they said, well, who shall give us flesh to eat? We want to have flesh. And so they cried unto the Lord and asked for flesh to eat. But we see this statement of the psalmist in Psalm 106 and verse 15. Verse 14 and 15, it says, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And it says, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. That a lot of times what happens is that we want to fill our bellies, that's our focus, that we think we have this need, we want God to give it to us, we don't have it right now, and so we desire after it, we complain to God to receive it, and so then we finally get what we want. But when we've done that, we've missed something. And just kind of the thought of that, of just how, where we pursue after the physical so much that we have leanness in our soul, that we've given up what we really needed, that our bellies are full physically, but we're starving spiritually. And we don't want to be in that position. And it's something to consider too, that Bible speaks of fasting as being a spiritual exercise. It's this idea in which we take a bit of time where we're not just filling the body and allowing it to be our master, that we deny the flesh for a time so that we can focus on the spiritual. But that's something that we realize. Our bodies do not like that whole idea of having to fast. And if we're told we can't eat something, it's that whole word concupiscence that we find in the Bible kicks in, that desire for what is forbidden. Just the fact that someone said we can't have it, then that drives us crazy, that we want to have it no matter what. And that's what we tend to find, is that any of you have ever tried fasting, that as you start to get into it, that that's all your mind thinks about, just food, 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 and trying to get past that point. And it takes a while, but once you do, you realize that's just my body thinking it needs it, and my body is doing just fine. I don't need to listen to it as much as I think I need to. But our body resists, and our flesh resists, and you can really see with the Pharisees of how when they actually did fast, well, they made a big deal of it, and they made everybody know how much they were suffering, that they had to fast, that they were seeking the Lord. And that they even did it in a way to impress God, and God said, well, that doesn't impress me at all. You're not even doing it for the right reasons. But it's the idea, if we seek to do that, because of course with fasting comes prayer, that we step away from the physical, devote time on the spiritual. And if we learn to do that, we find that we are better off both now and in eternity. And it's funny, because as we fast, of course, our body is screaming, what are you doing to me? You're so cruel that you're depriving me of food. But studies actually show that fasting is something that has health benefits to us, and just kind of cleansing our system and other things like that. And so it's learning that and realizing that this is something that is good for us, something that God wants to teach us. And it goes against so much of what the world tells us. But we're not seeking to be conformed to the world. We're seeking to change our ways. And so with that, we see Lord speak to us and trying to get us, because he's trying to get us to see that we don't live by bread alone, that we have to live as well by the Word of God, that we don't just need the physical, we as well need the spiritual. And we see in Luke chapter 6 where he says in verse 21, he says, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. That it's the thing, it's okay to be hungry. That, and as we're hungry now, that God's going to fill us in time to come. But then it says later on, verse 25, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. That sometimes we're so full that our physical needs are satisfied, and we don't even think of what our spiritual needs are, of the leanness of our soul that we have. And we see in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12 of how Paul makes this statement. He says, I both know how to be abased and how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And it's a thought that God wants to teach us to be full and to be able to handle that properly, have the right attitude. And he also has times where he teaches us to be hungry and to learn things from that. And with everything that God goes us through, we want to understand it. God's trying to teach us something. That even, I know when I was in the hospital this week and wondering, why am I here? Well, there's lots of things to be taught. And you always want to figure out what it is that God's trying to teach us. And the truth is that we need not only bread to live and physical food, but we need the Word of God in order for us to live and to thrive. And it's not just some of the words, but it says, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That we don't just take a few words, even though they can be a comfort to us, that we realize all of it applies to us. All of it, we need to understand what it says, and we need to observe to do what God has directed us to do through His Word. And the fact is as well is that we have a hunger and a thirst that is in our lives, that it goes far beyond the physical. That there is a hunger and thirst that we have that no food, no drink, no taste experience can ever satisfy. That we have to find that satisfaction in God alone. We see in Isaiah chapter 55, where God says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. that God calls us to Him. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. That He is the water of life, and He wants us to come unto Him. That whosoever will let him come and drink of the water of the life freely. That we can, people can have the thirst of their souls quenched, and it's in God alone. And as Christians, we need to seek to have the thirst of our souls quenched in Him, and we need to speak to others of that as well, so that they would understand that too. And so when we think of what we need, that spiritual food, that spiritual bread that we need to partake of, that we recognize that we need God's written word, that it is food to us, that as we eat each morning, that as we begin our day, that we know we need breakfast. Breakfast is called the most important meal of the day, but we realize that in many ways our time with the Lord is, spiritually speaking, is our most important meal of the day. That if we skip breakfast to study God's word, that we wouldn't be lacking, that we'd be blessed for it. That it says in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, it said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." But that's the thing, is we seek God's word, and as we hear from Him, that we would be much better off to hear from Him and miss our physical breakfast than to have a huge breakfast and to miss out on hearing from Him each morning. That we need that it's so important to us. We need that spiritual food. Psalm 119 and verse number 103. It says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." That it's a thought that there's so many things nowadays that are sweet, that we think of honey and sugar, but of course there's so many different varieties of candy. But the fact is that to take in the words of God are sweeter than anything like that we can take in. And so we want to recognize God's word in that way, that it is meat to us, and it's not just in the knowing of God's word, but as well in the doing of God's word. That we see that in John chapter 4, that Jesus made the statement to his disciples that they'd left him by the well in Samaria, and they went to get bread. And they brought it back and said, "Master, eat." And of course, when they were gone, he'd been talking to the woman of Samaria, witnessing to her so that she would come to faith and to salvation. And they said, "Master, eat." But he said, verse 32, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And of course, that, as so many different times, Jesus would say something, and the disciples would totally not understand what he was trying to put across to them. So he'd have to explain it. They said, "If any man brought him aught to eat," and Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." And it's that thought that through the day, that if we do God's will, that if we obey him, if we minister to someone else in need, that brings us such a fullness spiritually, that it is something that we can feast upon for days afterward, of just the fact that we could make a difference in someone's life, that we were a servant of God to someone else, that is a great deal, that it is something that we can be willing even to skip a meal to be able to do that, that it's worth doing, that it's of value, and others need it of us, and we need it as much ourselves. That just how much that it can bless us spiritually. But as well, we realize not only is God's written word meat and bread to us, as well we need God's living word, Christ himself. That Jesus said of himself in John 6:35, he said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me so never thirst." And it's a thought that we come to him, of course, for salvation, but daily, that we need to seek him as the living bread, that we need to recognize that in Him we will find our hunger satisfied. In Him we will find our thirst quenched. As He says as well in John 7, verses 37-38, He says, "If any man thirst, let him come to me to drink, and he that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That we realize He is the source that we need to go unto to have our thirst quenched spiritually, to have our hunger satisfied, that we need Him, that we need to spend time with Him, we need to have that closeness with Him, that we seek after Him, and that we would have a relationship with Him that is real and genuine. And we realize that as a nation, that we are very much in the situation, much what Amos described in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Where he says these words, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." That's the famine that we could say that we as a nation are entering into in many ways. That we're so wrapped up into the plenty that we have of the physical food that we fail to realize the great spiritual dearth that exists all over this nation. That we need God as a nation, as a people, as individuals. We need His Word that is absolutely essential to our lives. We cannot live without it. And so it's the thought that I want to give to each of you today, that as thirsty as we can be for physical water, and just think of different times that you might remember that you're outside, you're working, the sun's out, and you're not at a place where you can get water, and as thirsty as you've been, and of course probably few of us have been ever stranded in a desert. There's not very many deserts in this area, thankfully, but we read of stories of people that they're in a place where there is no water, and where they want water so bad that their mind starts to play tricks on them, that they think that there's a place where they can get water, that they see this mirage, and of course there's nothing there. But just how much of a thirst that we can have at different times in our life that we've experienced, and how much we read of others of having, that how much more should we have that thirst for that spiritual water from God and His Word that only He can give us. And as hungry as we can be for physical food, that for you kids, that it's something that you can eat usually, and then probably half an hour later you find that you're hungry again. That, and especially if you know that you have to wait, that I know for sometimes at the start of church it can be you're hungry, and then trying to wait and for me to stop talking so that you can go home, so that you can finally fill your belly, that it just, you can be so hungry. But there's different times in our lives where we can't eat right away, and we have that hunger, and it continues with us. And that for each of us sometimes, if we've had a long day where we've been working hard, and we've been looking forward to a meal that we say we know that what's going to be cooked is one of our favorite meals, that just how much we long for that and look for that and desire for that to happen. And at different times, and of course, again, we're in a place of plenty. We don't experience that very often. But in times where no food has been available and we have to wait, and how much when we finally get to the point that hunger is satisfied, and how enjoyable that is. As hungry as we can be for physical food, how much hungrier should we be for God and His Word? And we see in Job chapter 23, in verse 12, these words, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." That these words of Job should be our words as well, that we recognize that God's words are more important, of higher value to us than the necessary food that we eat. And I want to encourage you in that the hunger and thirst that you can have for physical food, that how much more should be our thirst and our hunger for the things of God. That we can pursue in life, we can fill our lives with so many other things, thinking that they're going to satisfy us. But only God can bring us that complete satisfaction and fulfillment that we need. That's how he has wired us. That each of us, we have a void in our life that really only God can fill that void. That we need to seek after him. That as the psalmist talked about, as the heart path after water, so my soul longeth after thee. That we want to thirst after God in that way. That we're in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That we need to long and to seek after God and to have that relationship with him. Times where we struggle. Times where we need comfort. That a lot of times that can be something when we're dealing with some different. How do we deal with the problem? We go after, we try to have some comfort food and to try to get that comfort in that way. But how can food give us the comfort that we need? That only God can give us to that. To give us the strength that we need to sustain us through difficult things. Just the energy and the fervor and the ability to do these things. We need him to provide us with that. And so, as with all of this, that may we seek him so much the more, and so much the more may we hunger after God and seek after him until we find that fulfillment and that satisfaction of our hunger that he seeks to give to us. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for all that you are. And Lord, we just pray you would help us to get our perspectives in the right order. Get us to see that you are our priority. Help us to hunger after you. Just to realize how much we need of you each day. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's turn to one last hymn before we close, number 75. Number 75, "Abide with Me." Let's stand as we sing hymn number 75 on the first verse.
"Abide with me, crash falls eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. Thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. Hold thou thy word before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks, and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
Amen. Let our eyes dismiss in prayer, please.